A little bit of a dipping back into where we were two weeks ago, just to give you a familiarity for today. Rome was never conquered. It collapsed from within. Three areas of compromise. This is from the book of Daniel, by the way. We're in chapter 2 right now. Three areas of compromise which brought its downfall are, number one, the breakdown of family and the consequential increase of divorce brought on by perpetual self-centeredness. Number two, the love of pleasure and preoccupation with sports. Number three, they did not want to work. They wanted a welfare system where the government would look after them. And we talked about, what country are we talking about? We're talking about Babylon. But in a time frame, God being eternal with no beginning and no end, time looks different to him. It's not about days and weeks and months and years. It's about a time frame, and how it repeats itself sometimes. Anyway, around 400 AD, a small army from what was then Northern Europe came down against Rome. And Rome was so weakened by its self-satisfying affluence that it could not mount a reasonable defense. It was their demise. It was at this time that Rome was broken into city-states. And then later, around 1066 AD, into the countries of Europe. Man and his self-centered quest for power and sovereignty is always the weakest link. Always the weakest link in history. Nebuchadnezzar had seen an image with feet of iron mixed with clay. Rome actually had the political ideology to rule the world with an iron fist, trampling whoever happened to get in the way. And it did so for a while. But the iron was mixed with clay. Man is made from clay, the dust of the earth, as a matter of fact. He is always taking shortcuts and doesn't care who he needs to step on to get what he wants. And usually what he wants is just for himself. Charlemagne, a medieval emperor who ruled much of Western Europe around 800 AD, embarked on a mission to unite all Germanic people into one kingdom and convert its subjects to Christianity. He did this with an iron fist. A skilled military strategist, he spent much of his reign engaged in warfare in order to accomplish his goals. In 800 AD, Pope Leo III, apparently under the strong influence of Charlemagne, crowned him Emperor of the Romans. I wonder how it is one converts people to Christianity through warfare. What is that? How does that work? What is the conversion? Or is it simply a conversion to religion and a belief system and not a relationship with Christ? I'm not sure we're called to convert people, but rather to win them to Christ by showing them Christ's love. I'm convinced of that, actually. He did his part, Charlemagne, to encourage the Renaissance, a cultural and intellectual revival in Europe. When he died in 814, Charlemagne's empire encompassed much of Western Europe. He is credited with ensuring the survival of Christianity in Western Europe. Whatever that might look like, again, I'm not sure. It's the dark ages of the church, to be sure. Charlemagne served as a source of inspiration for such leaders as Napoleon Bonaparte, 1769-1821, also Adolf Hitler, 1889-1945, who also had visions of ruling a unified Europe. See how these things go from Daniel right through to now, in the blink of an eye, because we're really not very original in what we do. Different names, different people, different places, same old stuff. These fellows are a perfect example of what happens when a man takes matters into his own hands, especially religion. All these men failed through an iron fist to bring order and peace to the world. The next one to try this, which we'll see later in the book of Daniel, chapters 7 and 8, will be the Antichrist. He too is just a man. He will be empowered not from on high, but from beneath. From beneath. I wonder what's empowering all the meanness and all the wickedness and all the immorality in the world today. Don't look up, look down. Look down, that's what they're being empowered by. The one who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy will be the friend of anybody who would like to join him in that activity. And we need to keep that in mind. The word anti is simply a prefix meaning against, opposite, or opposed to, contrary, or in place of. The Antichrist is definitely against Christ, opposed to Christ, contrary to Christ. But he is coming in the place of Christ, subtly, as an angel of light. He will succeed in uniting the world under Roman rule. Oh, you mean we're still in Rome? Yep. Love of sports. We're right there. Government should look after us. The only thing we don't have is the Roman helmets, but we have chariots. We have all kinds of chariots, all kinds of color. Big hot rod engines in our chariots. Yes. He will do this. Pardon me, he will succeed in uniting the world under Roman rule. He will do this through the promise of peace. Not through bringing peace, only for a moment. Just enough to get a hold on things. The rulers of the nations will welcome him to do his bidding. So that's where he'll begin to rule in the world. The peace will only last for a short time when his true character will be revealed. And it is at this time that Daniel chapter 2 verse 44 comes to pass. Daniel chapter 2 verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. So the time of people will be over. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. History has an end. History has an end. But before this comes to pass, we're out of here. The rapture of the church will take place. What we have been looking at various times, what we have been looking at are various times in history. As I've said, not what time of day, month, or year, but as a sign of the times from Matthew 24:36. So let's take a look at some verses, again, without times, without dates. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And then chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, a little more detail. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as through the day of Christ, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they may be saved. Do you love the truth? Do you love the truth? And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow, it's all there. Right from Daniel, right through to now and to come. And it's there spoken through different people. Daniel, a prophet, Paul in the New Testament. It's all there. It's all together, and they all speak of the same things happening. And look at the times that surround us right now. So we don't set a date. We just are ready. Are you ready? Well, I don't know. What day is the thief coming? You don't know when a thief's coming. So if you're looking for a more... Bob, you want to go grab Sunday school? Tell them we're done. For a more detailed picture of what the world will look like before Christ returns and raptures his bride to the church, you can see Matthew chapter 24. That might be good reading for you this afternoon. And then look around. We're right on track. We pray that everything would be nice and peaceful and God wouldn't allow this and wouldn't allow that. But we're right on track. We're falling apart at the predicted rate. And this is the time we live in. And now it's actually on days like today and the news we had today and the things we prayed for today. It's more like persevering until the end. Persevere until the end. It's hard, though, in North America because we have a sense of entitlement that we should always be happy and healthy and rich. No, of course not. Well, maybe a little bit. Nonetheless, these times will come. And so why do they come? Well, because man is very, 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 very stubborn. Let's go back a minute now and look at that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, right? He saw the gold, worth the most, but the weakest of all the metals. Silver, a little stronger. Bronze, stronger yet. Iron, really strong. And so God keeps increasing, that is, allowing our iniquity to make our lives miserable. He keeps increasing the adversity as we go along to get men's attention that he might be saved. Well, I don't want to be saved. Well, don't worry about it. If you don't want to be, you won't be. But God is going to try everything he possibly can to bring that to pass in as many lives as he possibly can.